Another big case goes before the Wisconsin Supreme Court today, this time revolving around the state's top elections official. It's Monday, November 18th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crowe. Coming up on the show today, we'll get the details about that state Supreme Court hearing. Plus, the Wisconsin DNR has approved permits for a controversial pipeline project around a Northern Tribes reservation, and some faculty members at Marquette University are trying to win collective bargaining rights. Stay with us.
Morning Edition takes you across this country and around the world with stories that keep you informed and the context to understand what matters. The news comes at you quickly, but we slow it down to examine each story from different angles and give perspective on what might happen next. A brand new day comes with new possibilities and a new edition of Morning Edition from NPR News.
Weekday mornings from 5 to 9 on Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court will hear arguments over whether Wisconsin's top elections official can keep her job amid Republican attempts to oust her. The lawsuit was filed when Republican lawmakers tried firing Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf after her appointment expired. The case hinges on a 2022 ruling from the court that allowed a Republican appointee to hold over in his position after his term. That decision was handed down by a conservative majority, but the court is now in liberal hands. Brenna Godard is an attorney with UW-Madison's State Democracy Research Initiative.
If we didn't have that prior case on holdovers, then this just wouldn't be happening. And so this case is interesting because no one is actually asking the court to revisit that case. And so we're kind of taking that as a given rule in Wisconsin.
Wolf has been the target of conservatives angry with how she oversaw the 2020 presidential election. President-elect Donald Trump has pledged to lead mass deportations of immigrants without permanent legal status. Joe Schultz has more on how some Wisconsin immigrants are responding.
Fernanda Jimenez lives in Racine. She moved to the country from Mexico at the age of 5 with her family. For almost a decade, Jimenez has been protected from deportation by the Federal Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, program. She says she's afraid the program could end under Trump. She says the information DACA recipients provide to the government could make them easy targets for deportation.
That's really where our fear is at, is they know who we are. They know we're undocumented.
Following the election, immigrants' rights group Voces de la Frontera says it's planning organizing efforts around protecting immigrants without permanent legal status. That could include strikes and protests. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
After securing key state permits, hurdles still remain for Anchorage's plan to reroute an oil and gas pipeline around the Bad River Tribe's reservation. As Daniel Kading reports, that includes renewed calls from tribal leaders to shut down Line 5.
Bad River Tribal Vice Chair Patrick Bigboy says he's shocked and upset with the state's decision to grant permits for Enbridge's reroute. The company proposed a new 41-mile segment around the tribe's reservation after the band sued the company to shut down and remove Line 5 from its lands. Bigboy says he wants the pipeline completely out of the Bad River watershed.
It's now at the headwaters, which compromises more of the reservation and the waterways, wetlands.
An attorney for the tribe says they're evaluating next steps for a legal challenge. Bigboy says the federal government should uphold the tribe's treaty rights and water quality standards and deny federal approval of the project. Enbridge's Midwest Operations Director says the company expects to meet conditions to secure a federal permit. Daniel Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
At Marquette University in Milwaukee, non-tenure-track faculty want to win bargaining rights for the union. Currently, they earn $43,000 and need to serve 5 one-year contracts before signing longer agreements. The union believes it could bargain for higher pay and more job security. But Marquette has claimed a religious exemption under labor law. Ralph Weber is the school's general counsel. He says there's already a committee to address faculty concerns.
The direct relationship we have created with the faculty, especially over the last 5 years, was an effective way to go and a preferable way to go.
Union organizers said the school only created the committee after a previous wave of labor activism. Coming up, we've got a special episode of Wisconsin Life focused on family heirlooms. Today, we're going to hear the story about a Norwegian plaque and how it tells a whole story of someone's family tree. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on. And in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for a special episode of Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullough with a story about an old, unique family heirloom.
Many people preserve their genealogy through family trees, mapping the branches and roots out on paper. Hee-Won Lim brings us the story of a unique geological work of art, a Norwegian plaque. It's part of the Wisconsin 101 collection, which tells the history of the state through objects.
In 1879, Hans Gunther Magelsen of Norway commissioned a jeweler in Oslo to create a gift for his granddaughter-in-law, Sarah Magelsen. The gift was a round wooden plaque inset with a 5-øre coin, the equivalent of a nickel. Surrounding the coin are 18 circles of names and important dates chronicling the Magelsen family genealogy. The dates note births, marriages, and when people emigrated to the United States. Dana Kelly is the executive director at the Norwegian American Genealogical Center and Nazeth Library. She says this plate is a one-of-a-kind genealogical artifact.
The things that they brought with them were pretty utilitarian, but to have just an artistic object like this was pretty unusual.
Kelly says the center sees other genealogical objects such as trunks with names painted inside the lid or family Bibles, where a family has several generations of baptisms and marriages recorded.
But obviously a Bible's not created just for genealogy, it's meant to be a book. So this is unique in that respect, that it was created specifically for genealogy to tell the family's history.
Certain names on the plate are underlined over and over, which was a practice used in church records back in Norway. The Magelsens had ministers in the family tree, so they likely carried on this practice for generations.
You know, I baptized so-and-so's daughter, you know, Kari. He would underline Kari's name, because that was the important part. That was the child being baptized. It does kind of look like they're doing that here, underlining the person's name to accentuate who's the important person on this line. So they're keeping with that custom.
The plate begins with a different Hans Gunther Magelsen, who was born in Hamburg, Germany in 1734 and emigrated to Norway in 1756. Magelsen's German roots explain why the family has the same last name throughout the plate. Kelly says the practice of using a permanent family name was uncommon in Norway at the time.
Their social custom was not to give children the same last name as their father. If their father's name was Lars, the children would be Lars' daughter or Larsen. So seeing that they refer to themselves as the family Magelsen would indicate to me that they have a cultural outlook that isn't typically Norwegian. Perhaps they had more experience with other cultures in Europe that have that permanent family last name.
However, the family still kept some Scandinavian naming traditions. The plate features a few different names multiple times: Hans Gunther Magelsen, Sarah Magelsen, and Christian Magelsen.
Names got used over and over and over again in Norwegian families. It was very common to name a child after their grandparent. And it wasn't unusual to have more than one child in a family that had the same name.
The value of this plaque, both a carefully crafted artisanal object and a sentimental record keeper, speaks of the dedication the Magelsens had to keeping Norwegian culture and their family history alive in the upper Midwest. Sending a family heirloom to America, a faraway country, with no practical purpose, reflects the journey of the Magelsen family.
Something like this would have been something that they could display freely without having to worry about discrimination and what it might mean to cling to the old country, so to speak.
By 1870, almost 60,000 Norwegians had settled in Wisconsin, and that included members of the Magelsen family. The United States became known as Vesterheim, or the Western Home.
Hee-Won Lim brought us that story on the Norwegian Geological Plaque, which is part of the Wisconsin Historical Society's collection. It's also a part of the Wisconsin 101 Project, which tells the history of the state through objects. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCullum.
And that'll do it for this Monday. Thanks so much for being with us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. Don't forget to leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast app, or you can email us with all of your feedback. We love hearing from the listeners out there. You can email us at newscasts@wpr.org. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.